Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Garvey.
And I'm Fee Glover.
Off Air with Jane and Fee is going live.
We are taking to the stage at the amazing Crucible Theatre in Sheffield on Friday, the 31st of May.
It'll be a night full of surprises. We'll have a special guest, we'll involve you in the audience, and we'll embarrass ourselves. You really won't want to miss it.
Well, the surprise is we don't yet know what's in it, so it genuinely is a night of surprises.
Well, you've surprised me already. It's not just us. Our live show is part of an exciting new podcast festival called Cross Wires, which is taking place in some really amazing venues across Sheffield from the 31st of May to the 2nd of June.
So other podcasters that you'll be able to see include Katie Price, Catherine Ryan, Romesh Ranganathan and the original Adam Buxton. But there's also a whole host of free fringe events, family shows, surprise acts and after parties that Jane and I haven't yet been invited to.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Head to crosswires.live for tickets and more information.
From The Times and The Sunday Times, this is The Story. I'm Manveen Rana. Britain's prisons are creaking. They're overcrowded and housed in old buildings that are crumbling and leaking.
An inspection report came out about Bedford Prison that was particularly damning, and it talked about infestations of cockroaches and rats and how in one part of the prison there was raw sewage sometimes flooding the place.
And if the buildings are bad, conditions for staff are rarely better.
Well, I've been assaulted 6 times since it started. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody, really. It's just an awful experience having, like, I've had unknown liquids poured over me. I've been spat out, scratched.
To find out what's really happening inside our prisons, one of our journalists has been undercover, where he found himself very quickly working alongside the prisoners.
There's me and an 18-year-old who'd started the role also just a few weeks before, guarding the builders who have a saw and a drill, and prisoners are walking all around us. At one point, one of the prisoners approaches me and said something like, "Can I have one of your tools? Go on."
He witnessed fights.
And as I put my key into the gate to open it, there was suddenly huge commotion in the central wing area, and a fight had broken out, and prison officers were running across, shouting about this fight, and an alarm was going off.
And lapses in security.
There was one day where I was speaking to this builder and he was saying that he wanted to drive his vehicle in, but he was worried because he had Stanley knives in there, that they'd be confiscated. And another contractor said something like, "Oh, don't worry about it. I drive in all the time and lots doesn't get found."
And all within a few days.
And I was only in there actually for 8 working days. And the number of really dangerous things that I saw, mistakes being made, security problems, was just extraordinary, I thought.
The story today, inside HMP Bedford, undercover at one of the UK's most dangerous prisons.
I'm Paul Morgan Bentley. I'm head of investigations at The Times, and I specialise in in-depth reporting and undercover work.
We've spoken to Paul before on the podcast about The Times' big investigation into Russell Brand, as well as the time when he went undercover at a debt collection company working with British Gas. For his latest investigation, Paul's been undercover again, this time at His Majesty's Prison, Bedford.
Before I started this job undercover, I just expected that a prison like Bedford, which has dangerous people inside, has the highest levels of violent assaults in the country of all men's prisons. I assumed the security would be really tight. There's one morning in particular I think back to. And I arrived early in the morning and you walk in, and I had a prison ID, so flashed that to someone who was at reception, and then turned to the left and there's the airport style security, and there was no one there. You're supposed to take all your belongings out of your pockets. There are trays to put through the baggage scanner like you would at an airport. And I didn't take anything off. No one walking in at that time was taking anything off. We're walking straight through the security area. No one there. Actually, when I went through that morning, the arch style scanner, that beeped. But no one noticed because no one was there. So I carried on walking straight into the prison. No one had searched anything that was on me. And soon after that, I could collect the keys to the prison grounds, and I was within inches of prisoners several times that day. No one having searched me at all. I could have had anything on me. And I was hugely surprised by that because we went into this investigation expecting big problems. There are huge problems in the prison service generally, but also specifically at Bedford Prison. But I never thought I'd be able to just walk in and that I could have taken anything inside, drugs, weapons, anything. And it would be very unlikely it'd be caught if no one's searching you.
You could have passed those on to an inmate without anyone knowing.
I could have passed anything on. And like I say, you know, I followed the trajectory of that day, and from walking in and not being searched, then quite soon after that, getting the keys to the prison and then walking around, and prisons are inches away from me. And often they're being moved around the prison by prison officers, but there could be 10 at a time to one prison officer. It'd be so easy to pass them something. And, you know, you hear stories about prisons being full of drugs, and maybe I was naive. I always thought that they'd have to be quite crafty to get them in. But as it turns out, they wouldn't have to be at all.
What prompted you to look into prisons and HMP Bedford in particular?
So prisons is an issue in this country that has kind of gradually built and built. And for many years, people have been talking about how it's getting close to being a real crisis point. And right now, we're at that point. And actually, I've been looking into this for a while. There was a specific issue that I was very interested in that I first became aware of a few years ago, just while reading a book. It was a prison diary. And it mentioned how there are these people called OSGs, or Operational Support Grade. And it's almost like with police officers, how there's also police community support officers, that there are these OSGs and they're not prison officers, but they wear uniform and they often carry keys, but they don't have the training or the same responsibilities as prison officers. And that seemed really worrying to me. Prisons are notoriously understaffed at the moment. And if increasingly prisons are using these OSGs instead of properly trained officers, that's got to be worrying. For a load of things, including security, stopping riots, keeping control of prisoners. So I've been keeping an eye on this issue throughout the last few years. But as the prison crisis has really been building this year, I thought now was the time, potentially, to go undercover and see what's really going on.
And just give us a sense, with HMP Bedford, I mean, what sort of a prison is it? What sort of prisoners is it holding?
It's a remand prison. So about two-thirds of the prisoners in there are on remand awaiting trial. And people on remand are usually there because they're deemed too dangerous to be on bail. So often they haven't yet been convicted. Maybe they won't be convicted, but many will be convicted. And they've been deemed before trial to be too dangerous to be in the community. So you can have rapists, murderers in the prison, very violent people. Recently, there was an inspection that found it had the highest rates of violent assaults against staff out of all men's prisons in England and Wales.
What exactly is the problem? Is it that they're not able to recruit people because people don't want to work in prisons? Or is it there isn't enough funding? Where is the process going wrong?
There's a combination of factors going on here. There are increasing numbers of people going to prison. It's just going up and up and up. Prisons are finding it almost impossible to recruit and retain staff. So there are statistics that show that the number of prison officers that stay beyond 2 years is not good enough.
And is it because they're not retaining staff, they're not retaining the fully trained officers, that more and more of these OSGs are being used without training?
that seems to be the case. And also that prison officers themselves are inexperienced. If you look through the recent reports that inspectors have written into prisons, the themes are inexperience of staff. Doors get left unlocked because staff are inexperienced. You don't get staff that have been there for 10 years that make those kind of mistakes. The front gate security isn't left unstaffed when you have people there that know what they're doing, rather than people who are in it for the short haul and are already looking for their next job. So they need to find a way to keep good prison staff that are there for their careers, rather than people that are just there when they're young and inexperienced, and then move on.
So you were aware of this issue already. You know prisons are reaching crisis point. What do you do? How do you go about investigating it?
So we can't just go undercover whenever we feel like it. We have to go through a lengthy process with senior editors and lawyers, and we discuss things at length, whether there's no other way of finding out this information, and also weighing up the expectation that individuals will have of privacy, but also the public interest in exposing something that we really feel the public need to know about. And so we went through all of those discussions when it came to prisons. And I was in particular interested in Bedford. It was one of five prisons that over a period of just over a year have been given urgent notifications to improve. Bedford was also interesting because the chief inspector of prisons had said that issues found there, like understaffing and inexperience of staff, were reflected across the country. So it seemed like a good place to get a real insight into where things are going wrong nationally. And then the other thing was that at Bedford, I noticed that there were jobs going through agencies. So prisons have OSGs and they're hired directly by the Ministry of Justice. But the Ministry of Justice has also been using agencies to recruit what are called prison escorts or OSG escorts. And whereas OSGs have certain roles within a prison, like searches and watching CCTV, these OSG escorts have a very specific role of escorting building contractors around the prison. What became really interesting was I found out that by applying through an agency, these OSG escorts don't have the same vetting as OSGs hired directly by the Ministry of Justice. They didn't have to go through this level one security vetting. And that's why just less than 3 weeks after I applied for this job, I was inside the prison.
So you decide to go undercover. And I should say, I mean, you look a bit different. How much effort did you put into, you know, looking the part, looking like somebody who wanted to go and work in a prison?
I do sometimes change what I look like for undercover work, but, you know, we don't have huge budgets. There's no plastic surgery involved. I've just shaved my head and grown a bit of facial hair.
But, I mean, it's a good look.
Thank you very much. But the truth is, part of the process was almost not trying to hide my identity too much. And, you know, when there are concerns about vetting, I was really interested to see by applying for this job. I've done loads of undercover work in the past. If you Google my name, you find me very quickly. You find out that I'm a journalist at the Times.
I was going to say, I mean, you're not called Paul Smith. It's Paul Morgan Bentley. That's quite a distinctive name. There aren't many of them if you Google.
No, I come up straight away.
Yeah.
You know, you can go undercover and have a fake identity and all things like that. But when you're applying for a job, you need your national insurance number, you need your identity documents, your passport, your driving license. So I provided those. And all it would have taken would have been one person Googling me.
So you're given a job with minimal checks. You're handed the keys. What exactly is the role?
So it depends on the prison and it depends on the staffing levels. You're, in the descriptions for the job, it says that you should have minimal contact with prisoners. There are different roles that OSGs typically do at prisons. So they're often on the front gate, checking visitors. They can be looking at CCTV. There's a specific role that I was doing, which is escorting people around the prison grounds. So there's a lot of building work going on at Bedford. It's an old Victorian jail. There's huge problems there, just in the structure of the building and broken windows and things not working properly. And a whole wing of the prison has been sectioned off for building work. So I was escorting these builders around. But what that meant was I was walking throughout the prison estate. I could see these builders who had dangerous equipment on them. Again, you would just assume at a prison that they'd be really thoroughly checked, that before coming into the prison,
yeah,
that their vehicles would be checked, and it wasn't happening properly. There was another day where the builders had to build a wall of a central area of the prisoner wing. So it was in the middle of two big corridors where the prisoner cells were. And often the prisoners would roam around in this area. It's where they went to get medication. It's when they went outside for exercise. That's where they'd be taken through. And they had to build a wall in that area. And that involved them having huge studs and saws and drills. Staff talked about how there'd been some discussion among the governors of the prison as to whether this should go ahead during the day when prisoners were around.
Yeah.
And we assumed it wouldn't be allowed to and it would have to happen at night. But then we got told, no, go ahead. It's been decided that it can go ahead.
Wow. Is that just because they're in such a hurry to try and reopen that wing? Space is so limited.
That's definitely the impression we all got. That they're at that point, they're under pressure, they need to get it done, and they were cutting corners. So there was this extraordinary moment where I'm stood there. There's me and an 18-year-old who'd started the role also just a few weeks before, guarding the builders who have a saw and a drill, and prisoners are walking all around us. At one point, one of the prisoners approaches me and said something like, "Can I have one of your tools? Go on."
Oh, God.
And I kind of looked at him.
But you could have been saying that to the 18-year-old, and that's quite intimidating.
Again, I hadn't been vetted.
Yeah.
And you wonder, again, you know, when you hear about violent attacks in prison on other prisoners, also on guards, how does that happen? You know, when the builders had a break, there was a cleaner who said, look, there's screws on the floor. And prisoners easily could have grabbed that. And at one point, I noticed a big screw on the floor in that area and quickly picked it up. So a prisoner couldn't get it. But there were just so many of these things that were building up. And I was only in there actually for 8 working days. And the number of really dangerous things that I saw, mistakes being made, security problems, was just extraordinary, I thought.
Normally when you go undercover, you know, you'd take a bit of secret recording equipment. I imagine that was a bit harder this time.
But one of the processes we went through editorially here was to decide whether or not we were going to do that. But it was a criminal offence to bring in recording equipment into a prison. There's also the risk that if a prisoner did somehow get hold of that because I'd brought it in, that's a huge problem. And I definitely would not have wanted to have contributed to any risks like that. I was there to expose these problems. So we came to the conclusion that we wouldn't film inside. I believe very clearly that it would have been easy to have done so without being found because no one was searching often. So instead, I kept a note pad and pen in my pocket, and when I was by myself or in little breaks of time, I'd note down lots of things. I'd remember what people had said to me and note them down as quickly as possible. I think my colleagues probably thought I was quite geeky.
Coming up, we'll look at why the next few months could be critical for the prisons in this country. That's in just a moment. Are you a Time subscriber? And are you listening on an iPhone? If so, why not link your subscription to listen to our behind-the-scenes series, Inside the Newsroom? Just visit thetimes.co.uk/bonuspodcasts to find out how.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Paul, you go undercover, you start to sort of see, just through your own experience, the huge potential for security breaches, the fact that nobody seems to be checking. What else did you find, particularly sort of amongst these OSGs, these sort of not very well-trained people who were suddenly given jobs, you know, responsible jobs inside the prison?
So one of the key things I was looking into was the use of OSGs because of this suggestion that with prisons being understaffed, OSGs are being used to do dangerous things. And straight away, I could see we weren't getting much training. It was a few hours. We were taught how to use the keys. There was no kind of training in how to defend ourselves from attack. They talk about kind of control and restraint training, which prison officers would have to make sure that they can restrain dangerous prisoners when they need to. We didn't have that. Didn't even have basic training in how to get away from a dangerous situation. We didn't have a truncheon on us. We didn't have handcuffs on us. We were told, if there's a problem, whistle, and hopefully someone will come.
Whistle.
Whistle for help. But one of the things on that first day that the trainer told us was that she was particularly worried about this. And she told us that there had been a female OSG who was routinely escorting two sex offenders on a certain cleaning duty, including through an area where there was no CCTV, and that she was really worried about this. And obviously that female OSG would not have had the training that I just talked about, the training in defending herself. And she said something along the lines of, like everything in the prison service, until it goes Pete Tong, nothing will be done about it. And I think that really gets a sense of the danger we're putting people in at the moment at these prisons.
I mean, that's remarkable. A woman with no training having to escort two male sex offenders around. That doesn't sound like it should be happening.
Absolutely not, including in an area where there's no CCTV.
How bad was it? You had a sense before you went in that there were problems. Were you surprised by what you found?
Interestingly, when I was undercover, an inspection report came out about Bedford Prison that was particularly damning. And it talked about infestations of cockroaches and rats and how in one part of the prison, there was raw sewage sometimes flooding the place, how prisoners were often kept locked up for 23 hours a day, which obviously contributes to high levels of violence. It really painted a picture of kind of squalid, awful conditions in this prison. And I absolutely nodded along as I read that in my car at the end of one of my shifts, thinking that's exactly what I found as well. One thing I was surprised about was that it didn't mention the security issues that I'd found, because they obviously get a specific look at a prison when they're inspecting it. What they wouldn't, I imagine, have seen is what security is like first thing in the morning when everyone arrives for their morning shifts.
Was it worse than you'd imagined?
In terms of the conditions inside prison, I think I'd read quite a lot about often prisons being in a bad state. So I think I was expecting that side of things. What absolutely shocked me was the state of security. In Bedford, actually, a couple of years ago, there was a prisoner escape, and there wasn't much reported about it at the time. And on my first day inside Bedford Prison, the trainer who was taking the new recruits around, she explained how that prisoner had not actually done anything particularly clever to escape from the prison. A staff member had simply left a series of doors unlocked, and it was during visiting time, and this prisoner just thought the doors were unlocked and walked straight through, she told us. And then an OSG was on reception at the front and just buzzed this guy through, thinking he was a visitor. And this trainer told us, and this is within hours of my first day, she was begging us basically to lock doors throughout the prison, because in her words, there had been a pandemic of unlocked doors in the prison. When I was there, I saw unlocked doors, you know, one right by one of the prisoner wings in the morning when we were doing our checks, a door wide open that's supposed to be locked. One of my colleagues talked about one day going through three doors in a row that had been left unlocked. It's just what shocked me with these real basics and how obviously worrying that is. Bedford Prison is also in the town centre, a few doors down from a sixth form college. If prisoners escape, they're at immediate risk to the public there. I can see how it happens when they're run so badly.
Given how dangerous all of this could be, I mean, did you feel at risk at all?
I definitely felt at risk. I was comfortable doing the undercover work because I was so keen to expose this and to show people what it's really like inside the prison. I remember going in on my first day and just thinking, I wonder how nervous I'm going to be, because I do a lot of undercover work and I've become comfortable with it. And I'm probably much less nervous about undercover work than lots of other people who might do it for the first time. I was really interested to see on that first day how nervous I would feel, particularly because when you do undercover work, I always have at the back of my mind that if things get hairy, I can quickly get in my car and drive off.
Yeah.
You know, if you're meeting someone in a public place and they realise who you are, you can disappear quite quickly. But this one, I'd be inside a prison.
Did you feel at risk from the prisoners in terms of your own safety?
Again, when I went in on the first day, I wasn't sure how it would work. There were these suggestions that OSGs were being exposed to prisoners more than they should, but I didn't know whether that would turn out to be true inside Bedford Prison. That's why I was going in to test it. But so quickly, it was the case. On my second day there, so I'd had a bit of training on day one, and then second day, I was escorting builders by myself with the keys. And there was this one moment where I was about to take them through from the wing they were building on to go back out. And as I put my key into the gate to open it, there was suddenly huge commotion in the central wing area and a fight had broken out and prison officers were running across this central area shouting about this fight and an alarm was going off. And I had this moment of reflection where I suddenly thought, I'm the person with the key here. And I'm an undercover journalist and they don't know that. And I started this job yesterday and I haven't had much training and I don't know how to defend myself. But had I walked out a second earlier, 2 seconds earlier, what would I have done? And, you know, I'm the one here keeping this group of builders behind me safe. The whole thing was just so unsafe. So yeah, I did feel vulnerable in there.
Paul, the prison service across the country has had problems for a while now. HMP Bedford has particular problems. You know, they've had a strike a few years ago. They've had riots. They've had an escape. I mean, how bad is it now?
Well, one of the reasons that I targeted HMP Bedford for this undercover work was also that Charlie Taylor, the chief inspector of prisons, very recently said, as well as conditions at Bedford being really bad, that they also reflected problems across the estate. And I think this is where it's really worrying. This is not an investigation that exposes one dodgy prison. Where we are with prisons is that it's a subject that's often neglected. Because public money, people want it to go to hospitals. People want it to go to things that benefit them. They don't want it to go, seemingly, to prisoners. But at its most basic, society has to protect its citizens. And one of the ways is that when people are in prison, that they're actually safe. There's not a risk of them escaping. And that they're not out of control, prisons. And I think there's a real fear now that with rising number of prisoners and short staffing across the country, the risk of riots goes up, that they're really not in control in the way they should be.
What did the government and the prison say about it when you went to them?
Well, before we publish, we always go to authorities that are involved with a good amount of time so they can properly consider what we found and then respond. And after I did that, Alex Chalk, the Justice Secretary, ordered an urgent investigation into the vetting of prison contractors. The Ministry of Justice said it's spoken to the governors at HMP Bedford about how they've been using OSGs and have been clear that they should not be escorting prisoners on their own without fully trained officers there. And staffing is being reviewed to make sure that staff are trained in using the scanners at the front of the prison. But the MOJ said that all staff and visitors were regularly and randomly searched. and used a stat to show that last month, the scanners at HMP Bedford were in use 91% of the time during what it described as core hours of the day. It pointed out that agency workers like me had restricted access and duties, our keys did not open cell doors, and that we had this abridged vetting process. We weren't vetted in the same way that OSGs directly employed by the Ministry of Justice are. It said it had a zero tolerance approach to drugs, that it had increased prison staffing levels and embarked on the largest prison building program since the Victorian era. It was really keen to point out that after last year's urgent notification to improve, the prison service has been working with Bedford to improve security at the jail. And it said the prisoner who escaped in 2022 was given a 2-month custodial sentence, and this was the only escape from the prison in the past 2 years. A spokesman quote from the Ministry of Justice, which is that the enhanced airport-style security in place at HMP Bedford and other closed jails is there solely due to this government's £100 million investment in tough new controls.
Paul, there is a prisons crisis across the country. We've heard the Prime Minister say that, you know, he wants to ease the problem by scrapping short sentences altogether. Firstly, would that help? And why isn't it happening?
I think that would help to an extent. It's a bit late, to be honest. We track the statistics when it comes to prisons. Already they're above a rate generally that is safe, that seem to be safe. But the official figures show that we're only a few hundred places away from prisons being at full capacity. Across the country, there's a very realistic possibility that if it gets to that full point, that criminals will be convicted at courts and then vans will be driving round, not knowing yet where they need to take them because they don't know where there's space. And a colleague of mine, Matt Dathan, the Home Affairs editor, wrote about this recently. There's a whole political crisis, though, because the government does seem to want to take some emergency measures, such as scrapping shorter sentences in a sentencing bill.
So if you're given less than a year, you just get community service, or
yes,
basically
exactly,
don't go to prison?
With certain caveats that if judges determine that they should be in prison, that they do go to prison. And also something they've already done is allow prisons to release some inmates just before the end of their sentences to free up space quicker. But these are really measures that only help in the short term. You know, at some point, there's going to have to be proper investment. And I guess the concern is that only happens when something really, really terrible happens, like prison officers starting to be attacked and killed, or, you know, things like that happening to wake people up. And the political crisis is the right wing of the Tory party are rebelling against this idea of people not getting prison for shorter sentences.
So that measure, which would release some of the pressure on the prison system, isn't even going through.
Exactly. So the sentencing bill, which has been discussed for a long time, keeps being delayed. And what sources are saying is that while the government wants to push it through and do something about it, there's this tension because they're also very worried about looking soft on crime.
Paul, if this political crisis carries on, you know, if there's just a government that can't really move because of the pressures on it from within the party, how bad could things get and how soon?
What sources are saying is that the Prime Minister is now being warned by officials, by the Ministry of Justice, that if he doesn't do something quick, that prisons could be at full capacity by as soon as Easter or very, very soon after that, which massively increases the risks of riots. And what they absolutely don't want is weekly stories about riots in prisons, about attacks on prison officers, about escapes. There's a terror suspect who is facing trial soon, charged with escaping from Wandsworth Prison. It was a big story last year. There was the escape a couple of years ago at Bedford Prison. And these escapes have reportedly happened because of open doors, because of lack of security at the vehicle locks. At its most basic, we should be protecting society from dangerous people. And it's an easy area to neglect, prisons. But when it gets to a point where we're very legitimately looking at increased riots and increased escapes, that's the time when you have to act.
And Paul, what has the reaction been to your investigation?
There was a big reaction to the investigation after we published. Mark Fairhurst, who's the chairman of the Prison Officer Association, he was on the radio talking about how they found criminals getting through the vetting process and being hired as prison officers.
We've highlighted that they've let slip people with criminal records. We had one guy who got a custodial sentence who was a far-right sympathiser, and it was all over his social media posts, but they failed to pick that up.
And Charlie Taylor, the chief inspector of prisons, he's also been talking about how there'd been, in his words, a tsunami of drugs getting into prisons.
We inspected a jail called Hidley, just outside Wigan, where 51% of prisoners were testing positive in random tests for drugs. So we see some jails where things are working reasonably well, but we see other jails where there is a tsunami of drugs coming into the prison, and that has to raise questions about security.
And I've been really interested in the specific insights that experts have had, people on the inside have had, and they've been talking about these real security problems, shocking security problems at prisons nationwide.
That was Paul Morgan-Bentley, Head of Investigations at The Times. You can read more about the crisis in prisons and have a look at some of the other investigations that Paul has conducted at thetimes.co.uk with a subscription. The producer today was Edward Drummond. The executive producer was Kate Ford. And sound design and theme composition were by Mal Aceto. If you'd like to get in touch with us with any thoughts on what you've just heard or any ideas for future episodes, do drop us a line to thestory@thetimes.co.uk. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.